And talk about fight the good fight of faith. Everybody say it with me. Fight the good fight of faith. So we're going to focus on faith for a few weeks as the Lord directs. And today we're going to emphasize, along with the communion table, committing to the walk and fight of faith. So as we rededicate and consecrate ourselves and receive communion, we want to commit to the walk and the fight of faith. Amen. Now here's the preface to what, before you read 1 John, it's right there in front of you. You know, minister said this. He said, the Lord told him this specifically. He said, not one of us has exhausted God's ability, resources, and power for our lives. So none of us have arrived to perfect faith or perfected faith in the sense of we have no more faith to grow in. Our faith should be growing and increasing in both our walk and both our fight of faith, good fight of faith. Listen to what he says. The Lord told him, no one of us has exhausted God's ability, resources, power for our lives. God is infinite. God is huge. Our lives ought to be a reflection of that. So if we can look at your life and say, well, I went to school. I did this and that. I earned these things. And I earned the things I have. You've missed God. Because sometimes people attribute their achievements, their academics, their accomplishments, and their acquisitions to themselves and not to God. How'd you get that TV? God. Faith in God. Amen? How'd you get that house? God. Faith in God. Come on now. How'd you get that car? God. Faith in God. Amen? So if we say, I went to school, my education did it, my academics did it, I did this or that, I earned these things I have, you've missed God. Your life should be such a testimony that when people ask you how you're doing, what you're doing, and why you're so blessed, you should be able to say that there's no explanation outside of God. You know, because everybody has that human nature to want to look at me. My faith did it. My power did it. When everything should be a reflection of our big, big God, of our unlimited, unfailing God. Father God. Amen? Amen? So, you should be able to say that there's no explanation outside of God. If you can point to your great education, your charisma, your talent, your IQ, your genius, or your ability, then you have missed God. Got everybody awake, I guess. So he concludes this statement by saying this. If your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. Because God will always call us to do something beyond ourselves. As we said before, faith will work for anybody and will work on anything. And we've learned before, and we need to be reminded to us, that faith opens the door to what? The supernatural. And the door to the supernatural swings on two hinges, our believing and our speaking, principally and primarily. Those two elements. What are we believing and what are we speaking? Because that opens the door to the supernatural. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the scripture here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of what? God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him, that is also is begotten of him. By this we know that we love God, the children of God, when we love God and we keep his commandments. Amen? So that's the indicator or the barometer and thermometer that we are the children, love the children of God. When we get along with God, it correlates to how we get along with other people and how we keep the commandments of God. Amen? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That means God's way is not hard. God's way of walking by faith and living by faith and fighting the good fight of faith is good. It's not grievous. Amen? For whatsoever is born of God, again, highlight that verse, or if you got an electronic Bible, highlight it in there, underline it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even what? Our faith. So everybody say, my faith is my victory. So faith is our victory. Now, verse 5, it says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So you're believing in his work. Our faith is in him and what he has done. Not in our finite ability and what we can do. It's what he has done, what God can do, what the Lord can do. So faith is our victory. Say it with me. Faith is our victory. So if you look at financial, physical, relational, emotional, or mental, amen, circumstantial, or in your business or job endeavors, what is your victory? Everybody say faith. Faith is my victory. So the experience of victory is done through the exercise of our faith in God. Peter even said it this way, your faith going through a fight is more precious, more valuable, we can say it this way in 2009, than silver and gold. Fine gold. That's how important and how valuable your faith is. Amen. So to walk in victory, to live in victory, to undergo a fight from our adversary and come out victorious is a byproduct of our active, consistent, and confident expression of faith in God, in the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and in his word. So we see some powerful expressions here that John gave in this first epistle of John that we just read, chapter 5, 1 through 5. Overcometh, we got the Greek word written out for you, means to conquer, to carry off the victory, to come off victorious. What are you overcoming? The world, which is cosmos in the Greek, which is anything Satan, who is the god of this world, ever attempts to throw at us, an ordered system. So you can't say, well, they didn't let me go to that school, or they didn't let me work for that company, or they didn't, the government set up these laws against us, or I'm the wrong color, I'm the wrong culture, I'm the wrong class, I didn't inherit money. Anything that he throws, such as society, culture, government, economics, nature, and even science, your faith is able to overcome it. Somebody say glory to God. As we prepare our minds and hearts and minds to receive communion today, we're charged with to reestablish our commitment to walk by faith, to live a life of faith, and to fight the good fight of faith. As we close out 2019 and transition into 2020 by the will and grace of God. Now, why faith? Well, Romans 1:17 says, for it is the righteousness of God which is revealed from faith to what? Faith. And as it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. So it didn't say you might live. It says you shall live. Now, let's look at some other scriptures here to reinforce that theme of we have to live by faith. Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident for the just shall live by faith. Everybody say, the just shall live by faith. In other words, the justified, that's you and me, as believers in Christ followers, born again believers. We shall live by faith. We've been justified. Somebody said justification is like, it's just as if I'd never sinned. Because the sin's been taken care of. The sin problem's been taken care of. You've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? You've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen? You have been justified. You are righteous right when? Now. That means I have a good position with the Father. I can approach the Father God without any sense of fear, guilt, inferiority, or shame. Praise God. Just shall live by faith. Let's keep going. The next one. In Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. There it is again. But if anyone draws back from what? Living by faith. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. God's not going to be pleased if you draw back from living by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by what? That means our manner of living, our lifestyle, is to be by what? Faith and not by what? Sight. And I like how the Amplified says, not by appearances. In other words, what you see and what you feel. You're not supposed to be moved by that. You're supposed to be moved and motivated by faith. Amen. Bless the Lord. Faith is not a doctrinal position or a movement. Faith is a way of life. Now, the first big why of faith is how our Father functions. We learned this through faith school. Some of you hear it repeated again, but we don't have the fear of repetition, so we'll repeat it again. That's how our Father functions. And so he expects us to function by faith. He doesn't function through or by fear or unbelief. So we can't operate through fear or unbelief. We can be confident or hesitant in our trust and reliance and belief in him and his word. It's our choice to believe God and to believe what you feel or see. So faith is a choice that you make. A firm, decided choice that I choose to believe God versus what I see, feel, or am experiencing right now. See, when you're functioning by faith, you will be confident and positive and not functioning in death. See, our future is with our Father, and we are to stay hooked to him. And staying hooked to him means we got to stay in faith. Faith is not optional. It is required and mandatory. God demands faith from us. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 through 6. He says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he had this testimony that he pleased who? He pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them, those who diligently seek him. So faith is how our Father functions. Number two, the second big why is faith is what pleases God. Faith is what pleases our Father God. See, God is not pleased, friends, when we're not receiving. Now, what is he receiving? What? We're not receiving his salvation, his deliverance, his healings, power when we need it, or his prosperity that he's provided. His peace for your home and for your environment and environment during different times and seasons of circumstances. You're not receiving his peace. You're not receiving his presence when you're doing your devotions or times of worship. Why? Because there's no faith there. And God is not pleased when you're not receiving. He is not pleased when we're not overcoming. So you have to receive. But the only way you receive from God is the mandate that we've been taught, you know, when we went to Bible school under Kennedy Hagin, how to receive is by faith. Because God won't do the receiving for you. Now, you can do the hoping and the wishing, but that's not a good receiver. It's a good waiter, but it's a poor receiver. Faith is your receiver. Faith is your overcomer. We just read that. Amen. So make God happy. Everybody say, make God happy. Turn to someone next to you, smile real nice at them, and ask them a question. Are you making God happy? Amen. Amen. You ought to smile at them when you say it. See, religion tells us, and religious tradition teaches us, that the just shall live by doing and acting good. So we think the kingdom is completely a meritocracy, which means we have to earn and merit favors from God. Or we're blessed because we're doing everything right. Or maybe God will bless me because I'm doing everything right. I'm walking the straight and narrow line. In other words, I'm trying to do it through works, religious tradition, or legalistic behavior. But he said what? The just shall live by what? Faith. And so think about this. And see, we want to knock this out of our system. Now don't get nervous because I say this. But sometimes if you're a perfectionist, you need to have a little grace to smooth out your edges a little bit. Because, you know, God is not expecting you to be perfect in everything. He just wants you to perfect your faith in everything. And you need to get rid of religious correctness. Because, you know, some people are politically correct, as we heard say that phrase before, or understand that phrase a little bit. So that means we're always trying to be the ones that always right, the goody two shoes, never wrong. But see, sometimes we can get that same spirit and attitude in the church where we become religiously correct. Amen. Religious correctness is just like political correctness. We're trying to earn some sort of favor or honor from God. When what we receive from God comes only through our what? Faith. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's not in my notes, but I figured I'd share that. Amen. See, we need to live and do good, but it shouldn't be to earn merits, points, and credits with God, or for us to try to deserve his love, healing, or blessing from God. Amen. Everybody say, no religious correctness. Get rid of religious tradition. Amen. Amen. See, we have to have faith in God, because when you have your heart full of faith, you can change situations in your home, in your family, in your physical body, in your soul or mind, will, and emotion. That's a big one, guys. That is a big one. Because the devil is a master at messing up our minds. And we're thinking, I mean, you know, people talking more suicide, depression, and discouragement today, and they're Christians. And the devil's got strongholds set up in their minds, just at free will, so to speak. But you can start to reorder and reorganize your mind and your mentality and your mindset and your emotional well-being and health through faith. That's called the act of renewing your mind. You don't do that by the flesh. You do it by faith. You get up and declare by faith that I have the mind of Christ and I hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. Amen. You say, you declare, I'm going to think Philippians 4:8 all day long. Whatever is good. Amen. Whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is worthy of praise, and whatever is a good report, I'm going to think on those things. Why? Because as you think in your heart, so are you. Where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. Feelings are controlled by thoughts and not circumstances. So you can have discipline of your mind to where you can have self-control to say, I'm going to cut off Facebook because I'm looking at everybody else's highlights and I'm getting discouraged and depressed. And you got to have faith to say, look, I'm shutting it down. I'm shutting it off for 3 or 4 days. I don't care whose highlight I miss. I'm going to have the mind of Christ. I'm going to live by faith. Come on now. I'm not going to live in frustration and fret because everybody else is doing other things that I want to be doing. Well, praise God. That's in my notes, but I won't charge you for that. See, you and I can change our situations in our sphere of influence by what? Faith. See, we should allow the Word of God to reshape us so that everything we do is from faith, through faith, and by faith. Everybody say from faith, through faith, and by faith. Galatians 2:16, 20 through 21, 20 and 21, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by what? Faith in who? In Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by what? Faith in who? Christ, and not by the works of the law. Everybody, is that plain enough for us? For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be what? Justified. You can't deal with sin, sickness, Satan, sorrow, or shame by works. You can't read enough devotionals. You can't read enough the Bible. You can't try to pray it long enough, because you'll be doing it in fear and unbelief. You got to do it by faith. You'll never walk free of those things unless it's what? By faith. Look at what he says in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith in who? The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And he goes on to say, I do not set aside the grace of God. In other words, I don't frustrate, it says in the King James, the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So that's why this table is so important, because we look at what Jesus has done. We remember who he was. We remember what he's done. We remember what he can do in our lives. And we put faith in him. Not in what we can do. Because God can do anything. God can do everything. Praise God. See, we have to train ourselves to be faith first responders instead of getting angry and getting negative or posting and sharing ungodly, unholy, evil, and demented, unrighteous things on social media and saying bad words or even cussing through our own lips. See, if we don't live by faith, it frustrates the grace of God. We see in Romans 2:8 that it is by grace we are what? Saved through what? Faith. If you can put that up, Ephesians 2:8. Hallelujah. Through grace, it is not of ourselves, and that not of ourselves. What? The faith is not of ourselves. It's talking about faith. That means you've been gifted. Everybody's been given a measure of the God kind of faith. It is the what? Gift of God. It's been given to you. You can't save yourself. You can't deliver yourself. You can't heal yourself. You can't prosper yourself. You can't bring peace into your family by yourself. You have to have faith. Amen. Romans 5:1 says, it is by through faith we access. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't get anything but by faith. Amen. So grace, one definition, is all that God has given. And so we talk about this season, and John 3:16 comes to mind. God so loved what? The world that he what? See, when he gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. Because Jesus is what? The greatest gift of all. It is the gift that keeps on giving. See, we know that. But how do we access and appropriate that gift and receive that gift? By faith. See, grace is all that God's given. But what frustrates him as a giver? We know the Bible says in three New Testament witnesses of Scripture that God is a good giver. Because we just quoted John 3:16, or actually four. He gave. He so loves, he gave. So he says, manifestations of my love is to give to you. Amen? And we find out that in Romans chapter 8, when he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's verse 31. Hallelujah. Who spared not his only son? That's talking about this season. Jesus came, right? He gave his only begotten son. He said, he spared not his only son, but delivered him up for how many of us? Us all. How shall he not also with him freely, verse 32, give us all things? So God is a free giver. He's not charging you. Come on now. We always look at the people that on those, what do you call it, the robocalls and marketing calls, and they're always trying to get something from you. But God's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you because he's a giver. He's a free giver. He freely gives us all things. If he gave you Jesus, he will give you anything. Anything. That's like writing a blank check to you and say, fill it in. Whatever you need. But you got to believe to receive it. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We see the witness of Scripture. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says, charge those who are rich in this world not to be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. In the who? The living God, the God who is alive. The living God who gives to us richly all things for us to enjoy. In other words, he's not only a free giver, he's a rich giver. God's not a cheapo. He's not a give you a dime and a quarter here. He said, I'm going to give you so rich, because rich there means a full supply or abundant provision. That means I'm going to give you extra and overflow, because he's not the God who's just enough. He's the God who is more than enough. So he richly gives us all things to enjoy. Now, I like that all things, because that's a powerful phrase. All things. Freely give us all things. Richly give us all things. He'll give you everything. Now, James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. How much? Oh, wait a minute now. So even when I look at it, I remember, he's a free giver. He's a rich giver. He's a liberal giver. That means he's profuse and profound. That means he's just not going to give you barely enough to fill your cup. He's going to give you much more than what you need. He's going to be a liberal giver. Somebody said, "God, my God's a giver." But what frustrates him as a giver? Not receiving the gifts that he's been given, that we've been given. How do you frustrate God? By not living by faith. Not living by faith frustrates God. Again, we'll say it again. What frustrates a giver? Those gifts not being received. What has been given by grace must be possessed by faith. See, all God has given us will go unenjoyed and not experienced unless and until someone rises up in faith to receive it. We can go all next, this whole month or next year, you unenjoying the blessing of healing and wholeness and soundness in your body. You can carry that disease, that diagnosis, that debilitation, that disability all the way into 2020, or you can enjoy the healing power of God, the healing virtue and anointing of Jesus in your physical body by receiving it and possessing it by faith. See, everything God does is by faith. His miraculous his interaction with us is by faith. Come on, everybody say faith. Hallelujah. When you have more faith, reading the Bible, you get more out of it. Because this book is alive. This word of God is alive. You can read it with your head and have head faith and intellectual faith, and it won't get nothing out of it. You'll get confused, and you'll be way off in left field somewhere. But if you get your spirit stirred up and then your faith built up and you read the word of God, you'll get more out of it, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? Amen. See, when you speak the word with more faith, you will release more power. See, we're supposed to imitate God our Father. And our Father God functions and operates by faith. Everybody say faith. See, he never makes decisions from sensory perception. And unfortunately, too often times, we yield to our sensory perceptions, our five physical senses, and then we make a statement or we make a move or an action or decision by our sensory intake. But he said, the just shall live by faith. Amen? We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. See, living by faith doesn't involve quitting. You got to make a declaration and commitment today. I'm going to live by faith. For example, if you're talking about, just say, I'm gonna believe to receive as the Lord puts it in your heart. Be led, right? And said, I'm going to believe and receive a new wardrobe by faith. And like Brother Copeland did, he said he never went and bought things of his own money, cash, or credit worthiness. That's a novel concept. He'd go into the store and say, because he said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So he'd go in the store and say, see the coat. I said, Lord, I want some of these. He said, I didn't even buy socks or underwear. Because like one bishop in Nigeria says, he said this, Bishop David Oyelowo people, he said, whatever God cannot do, let it never be done in my life. Whatever God cannot give me, may I never have it. Wherever God does not take me, may I never go there. God and God alone. Faith in God and God alone. Amen? So you don't add to yourself. The Bible says if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing things is by faith. in his way of doing things, he said all these what? Things will be. So you talk about you buying, you getting, you having, then you're taking God out of the equation. You're taking away some of his glory and his honor that he wants to get through your life, because he's pleased when you do it by faith. Does everybody see what I'm talking about? Amen. So like we said in the beginning, if your life is not supernatural, it's superficial. Because we're not attributing it to God and God alone. We have no other explanation. We can't talk about our education, our academia, our accomplishments, our achievements, our access. We got to talk about our Father God. Amen. Our faith in him. Amen. And him alone. He's our source. He's our only source. Praise God. So you got to make that declaration today. I'm gonna live by faith. I'm gonna talk faith, and I'm gonna walk in faith. Grace is all that God has given. Faith is how we get and receive what God has given. Like R.W. Shambach, who's gone home to be with the Lord, used to say all the time. Many of us may have heard or remember that phrase. He said, "You don't have no trouble. All you need is faith in God." What do you need? What does everybody need today? Faith in God. There is a walk of faith that we need to commit to, a lifestyle, living by faith, and then there's a fight of faith that we need to engage in, because it's a good fight and that we win. Amen? Romans 5:2 says, through faith we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So the third why of faith is faith gives access to what grace has given. If you're locked out and locked away from your healing, or seems like you're locked away from prosperity or peace and wholeness in your family or in your marriage, come on now, it's because you haven't accessed it by faith. And we said before, and I'll repeat it again, two prayers God can't answer. Prayers that ask him for something that he's already given to us. Because by his stripes ye were. If you're trying to get healed, you're in the wrong channel. You're hoping and wishing to get healed and trying to work to get your healing. You have to believe and receive what he has already provided. And by faith, appropriate that healing power into your body. Amen. So God will not answer your prayers to try to get him to do something. And prayers, the second one, that ask him to do something he told us to do. Now, he told every one of us in here through the word and by the nature of this church, and what part of our mandate is to live by faith. If we talk fear, we talk our frustrations, if we talk with a mind full of fretting and fear, then we're disobeying what God told us to do. I didn't say you just can't keep it real. Yeah, you could keep it real with your faith friends, but don't keep it real on social media. Not everybody on social media is in faith. Not everybody in church is in faith either. You got to be cautious of who you keep it real with. Amen. So what is faith? Let's keep going. Romans 11, 1. Y'all getting something out of this today? We're going to close up here shortly. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? Not seen. Amen. Amplified Bible. I'm getting there. I'm trying to turn. Amplified Bible says it this way. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for, being proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. The James Moffat translation of the New Testament says this: now faith means we are confident of what we hope for and convinced of what we do not see. So we know automatically that means it's not seen or not yet in our lives. Something I don't see right now, or that's not yet manifested in my life. So everybody say not seen and not yet. Some people talk about faith when things are seen. Well, it doesn't take you faith to see it. You see it. It's fact. It's right here. That has no testimony of faith. So it has to be not seen and not yet, but it's unseen. The Young's Literal Translation, 1898 version, verse 1, it says, "And faith is of the things hoped for, a confidence of matters not seen, a conviction." So when you have faith, you are convinced and assured of it. You are persuaded of it, and you trust in it more than you trust what you feel and see. Faith in God means because he is faithful, you can trust him, and you can rely on him. Everybody say, I trust God. Come on, you got to tell him sometimes, I trust you, Lord. I trust your word. Amen? See, it's impossible for God to lie. If he said he'll do it, if he said it, he'll do it. You can trust and rely on him and his word, because he said his covenant he'll not break nor alter the things that go on out of it. He isn't changing. He hasn't changed his mind. He said it. He meant it. He will do it. Amen. Amen. See, when we trust God, we honor him and glorify him. When we doubt God, we dishonor him. That's why it was so big for when we said that last month. We got to get rid of the fear and doubt. Because some of us talk it so much, it's become natural and normal. It's like we're having to get our high, either a sugar high or a drug high, on doubt. And don't be caught being a doubt peddler. Because that's worse than being a dope pusher. Because God requires and demands faith of us. See, we dishonor him and we magnify the devil and the problem when we doubt. Faith is persuasion, being persuaded, being convinced, being assured of. See, if you're questioning whether or not you're in faith, guess what? You are not persuaded and convinced. If you're wondering, am I in faith or not? No. One time there was a story of, sometimes it was a surgery or believe God for my healing. And a pastor, we all know, had his son had to go get some brain operational. And his dad said, I'm wondering whether I should take him to the hospital and get the emergency operation, because he got hurt on the football field. And And he's down there seizing up in a trauma on the football field. And they said, I wonder, would you just believe God? He said, if you're talking like that, you ought to take him to the hospital now. Amen. Thank God for doctors. Amen. Thank God for the medical people who keep us going along and keep us afloat until our faith can kick in and receive our healing. Somebody say, glory to God. But if you're wondering and you're worried about the pain and the problem, you're not convinced, and you're not fully persuaded. Amen. See, you have to apply the word of God and let it build up in your consciousness, the revealed will and the revealed word of God. Amen. And if you lack wisdom on what to do and how to apply and appropriate that, he said, let him ask of God, James 1:5-8. And he who asks of God and who gives to all men liberally and upbraid without reproach, and it will be, what? Given to him. But let him ask how? In faith. How do you ask God for wisdom? In faith. You can't receive wisdom from God unless by what? Asking in faith is asking being persuaded. It is asking, being sure and assured of it, that God's going to give me the answer. He's going to give me a step-by-step process where I can walk this thing out and work this thing out by faith in him and in his word. If you're not getting that, you're not asking in faith. You're throwing a Hail Mary up to God and hoping that the football term, I'm not talking about really this term. you're throwing a long ball up to God, hoping that he squirts wisdom down on you. He's not going to squirt wisdom down on you until you're in faith. Because he told you, when you come ask me for wisdom, you come ask me in what? In faith. That means I'm believing with my heart, I'm receiving with my faith, and I'm speaking it with my mouth. Praise God. See, we've got to become, friends, as we close, overcomers. Overcomers of what? Doubt, fear, and unbelief. And we read that in the first verse. Faith is the victory that overcometh what? The world. See, our stability is a lack of wavering. That means we get in faith and we stand until. But our instability is a result of wavering, vacillating, and wobbling. And it's not being persuaded. Don't one day talk about how you feel and what you see and what's going on, and you're crying and moaning and groaning about it, and the next day you're talking about, I'm believing, I'm going to believe God. No, you're wavering. You're like a chime on a clock. You're back and forth. Hallelujah. See, the more we feed on faith food, the more our soul gets anchored and the more we get stable. And so we need to go back to the concept of immersion, total immersion in the Word of God until you get your answer, until the Word comes real to you on the inside, until you get it, until the eyes of the white of your eyes light up and say, I got it. You get it by faith. That means your faith is focused on his word. Lord, you said you'd show me. You take the veil off my eyes. Amen. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That means you're not wavering in your words either. He is faithful, that promise. See, wavering or confidence shows up in your mouth immediately. We always say you locate yourself by faith, by your words. You locate your faith, by your words. You've got to either be, you've got to get and be consistent and confident. Amen. We can be established, we can be persuaded, and we can be stable. Everybody say that with me. I can be established, I can be persuaded, fully persuaded, and I can be stable. Now, lastly, we're going to commit to the fight. Just a couple of verses here. So we have to learn how to walk by faith, talk by faith, respond by faith. In other words, we do things like God does it by faith. Y'all getting something out of that today? 1 Timothy 5:2 says, fight the good fight of what? Faith, lay hold of eternal life, which you are also called and have confessed a good confession before the presence of many witnesses. See, the only option not to fighting, the only option, The only option to not to fighting the good fight of faith is to be destroyed and defeated. That means you've chosen to take destruction and defeat as your lot and as your inheritance. But everyone, I want to get you so stirred up that you get the fight back to your faith. Amen? It's our decision to fight or not. Faith is a fourth force. Faith is a choice, but faith also requires a fight at times. Living by faith entails and invokes fighting. How good a fighter are you? I ain't talking about scratching and clawing and pulling people's hair out. Stop watching all YouTube junk. I'm talking about fighting a good fight. That's the only fight you're supposed to be in. So we ought to be checking up on each other. How's the fight? And we're not talking about with your husband or your wife or your family members. Come on now. We're not talking about anything other than fighting the good fight of faith. See, if you're not fighting, you may not be in faith. Even if you're sick, for example, you don't claim defeat with a diagnosis like diabetes, high blood pressure, arthritis, bone diseases, muscular disorders, organ dysfunctions. You don't claim that. You say, I'm fighting against. Because this doesn't belong to me. This is opposed to my healing. So I'm battling against this. I'm fighting against that. I'm standing against that. I'm still in the fight, and I'm still in faith. Hallelujah. Whew, man, hallelujah. I'm preaching better than saying amen. See, we are to fight to keep and hold our ground against the enemy and in the spiritual, the faith realm, and not in the reason realm. Because, see, if you drop down into the reason realm, the mental realm, he'll whip you every time out of 100 times out of 100. You'll stand defeated because he's been way longer than us. He tried to fight against God. Come on now. And we trying to make it here on earth and overcome here on earth. And so if you try to keep in the reason realm, but he is spiritually defeated and he's spiritually dead, so you got to keep him in the spiritual realm, in the faith realm, and you'll whip him 100 times out of 100. Hallelujah. That's why it's called the good fight of faith, because the good fight is one you win. You carry off the victory. You come off victorious. Amen. In other words, we lean on, look at, and focus our faith on the eternal. We fight to overcome our doubts and fears and unbelief that the enemy hurls at us through circumstantial resistance or through unwitting, fear-filled, doubt-filled people that come and call us at the wrong time, text us at the wrong time with bad news or depressing news. Amen. You got to fight against it. You got to fight to maintain your expectancy and your excitement of faith.
That's right.
And fourth, to maintain your confession of faith, not to cancel it or change it. Be like Paul says, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Finished the race. I've kept the what? The faith. There's still a few days. There's 31 days in this month. We can finish the race. We can keep the faith. Amen. 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 Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Ushers, come on up. Hallelujah. So let's commit today to live and walk by what?